What is peace brain? Peace brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics, open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth, and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and we're so happy to have you here today. We have an amazing show today, and again with our guest Pam Rennie in this wonderful series we're doing. But we have some interesting topics to talk about today. We're talking about habits and losses and blessings. So stay tuned for, of course, this amazing conversation. We're actually probably going to open up some Akashic Records and talk about why we lose people and friends and pets. And then we're also, of course, going to have an amazing Peace Brain meditation at the end. And stay tuned for that. So, welcome again. I always open the show with a quote. And today we have a very short quote, but it is very powerful, and it is from Benjamin Franklin. He says, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of." And I really like this quote because it made me think when I read this, wow, how much time in my life do I squander? How much time in my life do I really do use to do the things that I want to do, that I'm here for, that is my purpose? For, of course, as a spirit living in a physical human body, I have a purpose here, and I have a job to do, if you will, as each one of us do. And so I got to thinking, and my scientific brain turned on, and I got to thinking, how many minutes or hours in a year are there? And how many, I converted minutes to hours because minutes is just too many, you know. I had to think in hours. That looking at how many hours do I spend, like, sleeping, making food, eating, brushing my teeth, getting ready in the morning, showering, going to work if you have a 40-hour day and 40-hour week job, how many hours do you spend a year? And then, of course, commuting to and from work. If we live in an urban environment, sometimes that can be quite long. And then just the basics like grocery shopping and exercising. So, first of all, if you're figuring out the number of hours per year, there are 8,760 hours per year. And all of that stuff I just named to you, if I were to just do the basics of going to work, getting ready, grocery shopping, making food, eating, etc., that could take up to almost 3,500 hours per year. Whoa. And that's sleeping, of course, as well, when you take that out. So it really leaves us just under 2,400 hours per year, and that's about 6.5 hours per day, to enjoy family, be with your friends, go out dancing, play with your pets, do something creative. And, of course, also the appointments that we have, like doctors and dentists, weren't included in that basics. So think about it. How do you spend your time? How do I spend my time? Well, how do I want to spend my time? How do you want to spend your time? So it's about how can we be the best person we are and do the things we really are here to do. And a lot of this really got me thinking, and we'll talk about this later in the show. I realized I had picked this quote for the show, and my dog, Uma, passed the very next day. And I got to thinking, and we will talk about this for a moment, because Uma's an important part of this show, where she just left. I mean, literally, she got sick overnight and died within 3 hours of taking her to the vet. A very sad situation, but also think about the habits of having a loved one around and having suddenly them not there. And so the habit of putting, you know, feeding her every day or having her locked up in their dog room with the other dogs that we have when I go out to the grocery store. And just things like that, like where's Uma? And looking around the house. And suddenly she's not here. So our family habits have to change. So we're going to talk a little bit about habits today of, you know, we all always talk about New Year's resolutions and creating new habits. So those are of choice. If I decide to go to the gym and start exercising, that's my choice. But sometimes habits have to change that are not our choice. When loved ones leave us or we change cities and we're in a new job and a new environment, we have to create new habits. So we'll talk about that. And then what are the blessings with all of this? What can the blessings can come from all of these? So that's our show today. And, of course, with Pam Rennie, Wayshower, Sacred Journey Mentor, Channeler. She is an amazing alchemist, amazing healer, and we've had her on the show before. She has her own website, pamrennie.com, and that's PAMRENNIE.com. She is an amazing lady and does private sessions and online classes and helps you with your journey, your sacred journey. And also channels a new energy called the New Friends, which I'm sure will make an appearance today as well. So, Pam, welcome to the Peace Brain Show.
Hi, Gail. Thanks for having me back, and hello, everyone.
Well, so we're talking about time and how not to squander it, because like I said, and I'm sure we'll get into later because we want to open my Akashic Records and maybe talk about Uma. But suddenly, don't squander time. I don't have my loved dog here, and I can't pet her anymore. So, you know, all those things about wishing I'd spent more time with her, even though, of course, I did spend a lot of time with her. But thinking about how do I spend my day? How do you spend your day?
That's, you know, what a great observation. And you know my heart's with you for Uma passing, and I'm so grateful that I got to see her not that long ago and pet her. And of course, it's only been 9 months for me since R. Wiley, our dachshund, made his passing. So it's certainly fresh in the experience of knowing. And for those of you that have pets that, and know this, they're our family members. They're an important part of our lives. Not everyone has dogs or cats, and they view it that way, but for those that don't know that, it's true. They are a very big role, and I'm quite certain these dogs have a pretty big soul purpose.
I think so.
Yeah. And so it's I love that I feel, and we had a conversation before about this, so I really feel that Uma guided you to that quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Yes. I mean, I picked it the night before she got ill and went to the vet and passed away. You know, it was amazing. I looked back after she had already passed, and I looked back and I went, oh, my God, look at the quote. Do not squander your time, for that is what life is made of. Wow.
That's huge. And it really paralleled with really a big portion of what the New Friends are really coming forward about. They've got multiple messages within their message, but at the core of it, it's be happy. And mm-hmm. we look at, and you know, so there's a lot of conversations within this conversation, Gail, but I just want to point to, as I've continued in my relationship with the New Friends, and they are ever present and such a big part of my personal sessions and my classes and really encompassing also the Ascended Masters, the Archangels, who have always been present in the work, but there's just a different relationship. And one thing, and where I'm going with this, is the New Friends really point to happiness and the joy. That word has come forward a lot lately, the joy of being in a body.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this is even for those, that are having some challenges right now. It's to learn that you can be happy even amidst some challenges.
And that's what I was going to share is when we brought her body home, she passed away naturally because she was so ill in heart failure that we didn't realize. She showed no signs. She did not want us to know. It's pretty amazing. But we brought her body home for the other dogs to say goodbye to. And so she's laying in my office in a bed. And I know this may sound a little macabre, but this we found that it's really good to let the other pets know what happened. And I'm petting her fur, and I'm realizing, you talked about this physical sensation, to be happy in a physical body. And I'm realizing it is such a gift to be able to stroke the fur on a dog, or it's such a gift to be able to just breathe the air or feel the wind on my face or touch the table that I'm sitting in front of. That these we forget, I forget, I'm sure most of us forget, that these physical sensations are really a gift. They are amazing. We're in these physical bodies, and I thought, I had this insight of every moment, literally every moment of moving in this body and experiencing this world, and I'll use the word should be happiness, joy, and celebration. And
I think our experience, yes, and I think our experiences on a day-to-day basis would be quite different if we really embraced that. So I'm taking a deep breath because as you spoke, I had a memory that's not that long ago, only within the past couple of months, come jump right in. As you know, this happens when we're in conversation, the stories come up. So we had a family gathering for dinner at my son and daughter-in-law's house, having a great time, and I went to look something up on my phone for my daughters. I was sharing with my daughter and daughter-in-law, and I saw a private message, very shocking news that my cousin had suddenly passed that day. And I just, of course, it was shocking news, unexpected, and I immediately felt bad because I'd been really thinking of her and wanted to get in touch with her, and I didn't. So there's a lesson there in that. And where I'm going with this is, so I was just taken aback, and they excused myself. I didn't say anything to anyone. I just slipped out of the room and just took a few moments and sent some love and blessings to her, adult children and grandchildren, her husband, and just collected myself. When I came down the stairs, my husband took one look at me and said, "What's wrong?" And I burst into tears. Now, the kids and the grandkids were outside, so they didn't hear all this, just my daughter and daughter-in-law and husband. And I sobbed for a few moments, and he comforted me. And then as everyone came back inside, nothing was said of it, and I was just keeping it private. But little Liam, who's 2.5, all of a sudden picked up his little toy guitar and began playing my very favorite song, Itsy Bitsy Spider. And as he began to do a whole full concert, I grabbed my phone and recorded for the next song he went into was If You're Happy and You Know It.
Wow.
And everybody participated with If You're Happy, You Know It. And he stopped and looked, are they going to clap? And they clapped. Happy note, clap your hands. And I'm crying openly, and I'm realizing in that moment you can be happy and sad at the same time.
Yes. Yes, it's true. What a beautiful memory. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm so glad I videoed it because it was just so phenomenal, and he played a few more songs, and then he got very silly. But it was, I really looked at it like there's no accident because he was really looking at me and and these little beings are so wise. He didn't have to have a reason for why, but Graham needs to hear this song and everyone needs to be lifted up. And it was just really one of those moments that will stand out forever. And I know it's a lesson for you to be aware of, Gail, as you go through this, because we still, even with all of our insight and our expanded consciousness, knowing that life goes on, knowing that Uma and her soul spirit is running free and comfortable, and she's still really very here, It's the adapting to feeling the joy and happiness within, allowing the time of the human part of the grief, because change is here. Change is happening instantly.
Yes. And when you shared that about Liam, I mean, you know, children obviously are so attuned to energy. They read the energy. They see it. They feel it. They're in it. And so, yes, he did see that you were sad and needed to be uplifted, and that was his way of doing that. And it reminds me so much of Uma. Whenever I was sad, she, no matter where she was in the house, she would read my energy, and she would always come into my office or wherever I am, bedroom, whatever, and sit right in front of me and say, basically, pick me up and hug me and aww, let me comfort you. She mm-hmm. was such a psychic dog that you know, she really was tuned into my energy, and that was such a blessing to be able to know that if I was sad, boom, she's right at my feet. I mean, I didn't have to call her. I didn't have to anything. She's there. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. So, of course, what did I do? I'd pick her up. I'd hug her. She was small. She was only like 16 pounds. So I put her in my lap and hug her. And that was just a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
It made me happy.
So I know you came and met me one day, and we went to see the movie A Dog's Purpose.
Yes.
Which, of course,
it's
yeah,
about reincarnation of dogs, yes.
And all their little lives and experiences, but clearly they have a purpose. And that was such a beautiful movie. And so I know it must be on your mind, really wondering more of Uma's purpose. Or do you feel confident in you know exactly what her purpose was?
Well, that's an interesting question, because yes, and we've opened, as everyone probably knows, I do Akashic Record readings, and that means going to your library of your book of life and really looking and asking questions of your record keepers about purpose, about situations in life. It could be past, present, or future, but it's about finding clarity from your own wisdom, from your record keepers, and from that book of life that is really at the 11th dimension. So, Uma, I mean, I'm speaking from myself right now and my higher self, that I know that Uma came in to be this gentle soul to help kind of mediate the energy between all the other dogs. She was a great, just get along with everybody type dog, and very almost meek. Meek is a really good word for her, actually. But she also was very happy. We used to call her Zuma or Zoom Zoom because she would run around the backyard and chase squirrels and chase things and other puppies and that type of thing. And she had two litters. She had one that just had one that survived, actually, and that was Artemis, her daughter. And then she had another litter of five puppies. And she is a purebred, and we've been in breeding this breed for many, many years. So it's, anyway, she contributed to new life and helping happiness with other families. But she also was to continue the lineage. This breed is the Coton de Tuliar, and it's from Madagascar, the royal dog of Madagascar. And they just recently became part of the AKC, which is a whole other conversation. But she came from the founding stock from Madagascar from the 70s that came into the United States. So
wow,
she had a really amazing lineage. And her dad, Omar, was the grandson of the actual founders that came in back in the 70s. So she really carried this lineage forward. And we've been able to keep a pup, you know, from each of these lines and keep breeding. So we have her daughter who's now breeding and keeping the lineage going. And so I know that she was just to bring in that love of her dad and love of the original founders, which I actually met and was a part of their lives a long time ago. So I've been
wow,
in this breed for a long time. So that was
that's
part
amazing
of her purpose. Yeah. So it's She's just such a gentle soul and was here to protect us. She would always bark when someone came in the door, and you know, she would warm up to you, of course, but she was like, I got to check you out. I wonder if you're okay.
Oh, yeah. She, even after all these years, she'd do the same with me, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Aww.
But anyway, so that was the superficial, if you will, my human knowing of what she was here for, and certainly just to bridge the generations and to be here, as I said, kind of the mediator for all the other dogs. Now we have Artemis and a male that we've made it, that we're mating, and so yeah, it continues. Life continues.
It does. So, you know, the other thing coming to my mind, because, of course, you've been there with me when I've gone through my losses with Wiley most recently. And as a dachshund and dog lover, I'm on a lot of different dachshund sites on Facebook, and there's a lot of passings. I imagine they always take place, but the owners really express tremendous, I'll use the word they use, heartache and loss. These dogs, all animals, just bring us such love and comfort.
Yes.
And it's just interesting to observe that it's not a casual, yeah, my dog's gone. People take it very hard.
Well,
and I'm grateful.
Go ahead and finish your sentence, and then
I'm grateful. Yeah. I've got tools, you've got tools, and a lot of us have tools and healing abilities, so we can assist our bodies and ourselves going through it a little more gently, maybe, and with a little more knowing of different aspects of life, yet still there's that sorrow with it. But go ahead.
Well, and to that effect, that's because animals, if you do bring them in and make them part of your family, which is what I recommend anytime anyone has any animal, be it a lizard or a bird or a dog or a cat or a horse, that it becomes part of your family. And so animals offer this unconditional love. And I know that people talk about this quite often, and it really is true. There is this, if you will, energetic connection between animals and people, that there is just this and no conditions. And this is the world that we're striving to create as humans, is to create where we can love each other and we can love ourselves. And animals help us love ourselves if we allow them to. They see our best qualities. They comfort us. They ignore our bad qualities. You know, they still come running down the hall. There's a great quote. I can't remember it. I'm sure everyone's seen it, of, you know, if I were a dog, I would obviously greet my loved ones when they walk in the door. I would bound and jump for happiness. I'd go play ball. You know, in other words, just as the new friends are talking about, be happy. And that's the natural state of animals when we give them what they need.
And they're so in present time.
Yes, exactly.
They are so in present time. I remember that explained that they don't have a concept of time, and I don't know about that, but I know they're very much in the present moment.
Well, and so let's talk about that for a moment, because the quote talked about don't squander your time. That's what life is made of. And as I was saying, we have all these hours in the day that we do certain things that are just part of the basics of life. What do we do with the rest of them? You know, what's our purpose? But present moment kind of negates that in a way. And yet we're in physical bodies, and in this calendar and solar cycles, it still has to be contended with.
Yes, it does. Because that is, you know, we've learned in our path of mastering alchemy is one avenue that we've learned this information, that time is an application. It's linear, and we are not linear. And yet, as the collapsing of time with, you know, I'm sure everyone would agree that they notice it feels like time is really speeding up, that there seems to be, I mean, it's May already, for heaven's sakes, that this year, did it not just seem to just start? So we can all probably agree time feels like it's really speeding up. That's because the world is shifting. It's different, and it does feel like we're getting less done. So from the application of present time, which is really, really essential, I feel like the word squander has a bit of a different application for us now. We could, you're laughing because you must see that too, but I was looking at it that we are so busy and we have multiple distractions, some necessary, some not, but we're so busy that we could look at that as the squandering of our time, meaning in the busyness we can be very unfocused, scattered, distracted, not paying attention if we're not grounded and centered. And to me, you can go through your day like that, feeling like you didn't accomplish anything, and the contrast to that is taking a breath, being very aware of being very present in the moment, very grounded, centered, to using tools if you have them, and noticing, maybe even pausing. Jim and I do this a lot. We'll say, all right, let's just pause. Where are we at in the day? And what that means to us is, what do we want to accomplish? Just taking a few moments to stop, reflect, and set a new direction for what we want to achieve in the day makes a really big difference.
You and that, to me, is one of my three steps for peace: stop, reflect, and choose.
Did I really?
Yeah, you really did.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Because we still have the application of time. We're still using that. We, meaning all of the world. We have our calendars. We have our clock. That's still there. So how do we, as citizens of the fifth dimension, really use a better, more present time application in our lives? Now, there's a question.
Wow, yes. And that brings me back to just spending a moment to pet the dog or enjoy the physicalness in the moment.
Yeah.
Is a beautiful connection to life.
Absolutely. You know, we can, particularly when we go through something sudden, as you have, a big change that was unexpected, even when it's expected, it's typical for us to stop and feel that we haven't pet them enough, we haven't done this enough, and we haven't done that, and oh my gosh, it just feels so important to just trust that every moment was precious, even if it feels like it might not have been enough, and trust that it was enough, and just not should on ourselves.
Exactly. And I know there are bigger reasons that Uma chose that day to go. Could we ask the record keepers a few questions before we get too far into the show?
I think that would be really wonderful. I would love that. I know the listeners would really enjoy that, because don't all of us have, when our pets go or our loved ones, bigger questions? So let's do that.
Okay. So before the show started, I opened my own records. And so, Pam, you are going to ask me some questions, and I will allow the record keepers to speak the answers. So I have no idea what they're going to say, me personally.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And for those listeners who have listened to our previous shows and heard and been introduced to the new friends, they're very, very present. There's a lot of, there's a different energy, and you may notice the tone of the show is a little more quiet. There's an excitement, but it's a quiet, kind of subdued excitement, and that's how they're feeling. So I know that they're merging with me as we don't have set questions, really, so I'm merging
don't.
With them to look at. Go ahead.
Well, in fact, let me see if the record keepers have any opening remarks that they want to say about Uma and me, Gail.
Perfect.
Actually, before we start with a question. You know, so.
Because the first question forming with the new friends was probably exactly what you are going to speak through the record keepers, because, yes, I won't even say it, I'm feeling it, so wonderful.
Okay, let me get into the record keepers of me, Gail Lash, and see what they have to say. So we wish to say that Uma was your dear friend and that she came to open your heart and to be there for you in times of need. She was the reincarnation of a previous dog you had, Lucy, as you suspected. She was with you then, back in the late 70s and early 80s, and into the 90s, and was a dear soul, brought you into this new breed that was there to bring life to the United States and to the planet. She tied you to Madagascar and to the beauty of the people there and the lemurs and the flora and fauna that you studied while you were in school. She gave you the gift of being able to go there and see the people. She brings in this new life, and as you named Uma, Goddess of the Light of the Himalayas, as that is what her name means, that you brought, she brought in the light from that beautiful, those beautiful mountains, from those sacred places. She brought the sacredness into your life. She, of course, as you know, is still with you in your heart and still present in your feelings and in your consciousness, and can always be called on. And as you are asking, we know this is your question, that why did she pass at this time? And you know this answer. You know that she came to help her daughter Artemis with her birth that she's going to have any day now, of her litter that is due, and that she was helping from spirit. She wanted to you to understand that it is a time of new beginnings. It is a time of new families to be formed and new relationships, that you needed to go on without an older dog under your wing, to go only with the new and the younger ones, that she is very connected to Belize, which is one of your countries, and that she is helping you with your writings about that country and those teachings. And we will stop here and be open for more specific questions.
Wow, that was really amazing and absolutely answered a lot of the questions that were forming already. So let me just pause a moment and see. I think our human minds can be inquisitive and want to know. So you mentioned, of course, how Uma will be helping her daughter, your dog, Gail and Nevin's dog, Artemis, that's having a litter. And so there's a curiosity. Did Uma feel a deeper connection of importance to be in spirit to assist her than being here in the physical?
Yes, she was. She had already done this with Artie's first litter, had been a grandmother and a way shower for her daughter to know how to birth a litter, how to be a great mom. Not that, of course, Artemis did not know this instinctively, but Uma was there on the side coaching her and giving her support and helping her unconsciously from dog to dog, or unconsciously from the humans, what humans could see, and that Artemis already knows how to do this and is already a great mother and knows how to birth this litter and does not need the distraction of another female to keep away from her litter, for any new mother keeps away the other dogs and protects the litter. And so that Uma would have been allowed, of course, to come close in, as the puppies grew. But at the beginning, there is no need for her to be here in physical form, and certainly not to distract Gail and her husband in a dog that was sick with heart failure that would have shown up later, if she had continued going forward, it would have gotten into the point where they would have been distracted from the puppies and taking care of an older dog. And so this was important for her to exit quickly and quietly, if you will, to be there in spirit for the puppies. And yes, she is there helping them prepare themselves to come into this world and to be fully present and ready for their new lives.
Wow, what a beautiful act of service. And we don't often, really think, or, well, we don't always know that there is so much going on the soul mission of the dog. So that's amazing to hear. So her passing really was very sudden and unexpected, even though it was known that she had a heart murmur. She was doing really quite well up until just some very small signs that were nothing alarming until the very morning. And so is there anything, I know a lot's been covered, but is there anything more specific that might comfort Gail and Nevin around that?
We say that Uma wanted to go quickly and did not want to be coddled and put on medication to be seen as a sick dog. She wanted to be seen as a well dog and taken on walks and played in the backyard and play with toys running down the hall and chasing the squirrels. And she wanted to do this until her last days. And she did. And so it was important to have that feeling of well-being in the family, particularly with this new litter coming. There need not be sadness and grief over an illness, over a dog, that could bring negative energy to the litter. It could have brought this energy of sickness and death into the litter that was being formed. And everyone needed to be in a sense of well-being for this litter. So she kept her symptoms hidden and chose to go out literally within 3 hours to pass, to be able to go quickly and have the grief happen with the family, but to know that there was nothing that could be done and that it is time to be in present time and to move on and to be in present time with this well-being of the litter, to still have that feeling of Uma was well and the litter and the parents are well and everything is in well-being. And this is very important, to stay in this fifth-dimensional vibration of wellness and happiness and joy.
Yes, I certainly can see that. And yet, as Gail and I, when in the past, discussed, that's a really important question, because we are these great spiritual beings living, having a spiritual experience in a human body. So could you address going through the grief process? What we certainly know it from a third dimensional standpoint, but what insights or wisdom could you share around that process from the fifth dimension or beyond?
Grief is a sense of the physical being. It is a sense from the body. The body grieves. It is not the heart, the sacred heart, or the higher self, or the soul that grieves. For the soul knows that everything is in a life's plan. Everything is in your book of records. Everything is there for your choosing. And all experiences are beautiful. All experiences are a life lesson and something to be wondered at and to be praised and to be embraced with happiness and joy, even those of sadness. Because with each lesson, with each life experience, we learn a soul's lesson. We learn how to move forward. And as a human, you know that you have this physical body, and it is only the physical body that fears death. It is only the physical body that fears its own demise. And yet it need not, because it is going back to the earth. It is merging with the oneness of where it came from and how it was formed. And so there is no true physical death, because energy and life always is still life. And so that it is about being in that emotional body of allowing the physical body to say, wow, something died. That means I am being reminded of my limitations or my death to come. And this is what the body feels. And so it is about reassuring the body that even though, yes, this will happen one day, that a physical body will lay itself down, and it could be either quickly or take a long time, it is within your choice to do so, that like Uma, it could go very quickly. And that this is a choice, that this is a possibility. When the mind and soul and heart, and we speak of heart being your spirit, when they are all aligned in this well-being, then there is no need for a long death. A death can be just simply laying the body down and letting it mold back into the earth. So we say that a body's death is not to be seen as a time of grief, to be seen as a time of passing. It is to be seen as a time of new beginnings, a time of blessings, a time of new habits that can move forward. For grief is only the loss of old habits, and that it is you are to embrace a new way of being. It is a blessing to have this loss, and we will speak of this in a moment, to where it is about having a new life come forward, to have a new way of being be birthed and be blossomed into your life. So we will stop here and go on with the talk of grief and loss and habits and the blessings that come from this. So let me say, this is Gail. We have closed the records now and are not going to be talking about Uma, but an interesting thing happened while we were putting this show together, because this is recorded, but it is recorded actually in live time. And it turns out that Pam was was thrown off the call. And what happened is, actually both of us were, but I was able to get back in. So Pam Rennie is no longer on the call. But this is an interesting, we texted each other and said, this would be interesting to go on and talk about, because suddenly we lost Pam. And we have to laugh, because this show is about loss and sudden loss in many instances. So here we are on this show, and we don't have Pam on the show. So what do you do? What do I do as your host, Dr. Gail Lash? Well, the show goes on. We have life still to live. And so this is the message of the record keepers. This is the message that the new friends were bringing forth, that really this is a time to realize when you have a loss, when something changes that is without your control, that it is about moving forward in new ways and moving forward the best you can. So here I want to talk just a little bit about new habits and the blessings that come from that. And so in the retrospect of Uma passing, my dog passing, the blessing, obviously, as we have talked about, is that we don't have a sick dog around. And not that, of course, I wouldn't love to take care of her and still have her here. But with these puppies coming, it is really a blessing to not have to be concerned with the sick dog that would need a lot of care and could take and put this, if you will, unwell energy into the puppies. So it is it's a very useful thing that she chose to pass at this time. Now, when you have anything that changes in your life, a new career, a new place to go to, it is important to know that there are many, many blessings with this new part of your life. There's an excitement that comes from that. There's an excitement that really can start to bubble up within your heart, and where you can feel the beauty of the new beginnings. So I'd like to actually do this for our Peace Brain meditation, to go in and have this kind of meditation that can go from, if you will, grief and loss into peace and happiness. So take a breath and let's just ground yourself. Give yourself that beautiful energetic connection from the base of your spine down to the center of the planet. And know that you are connected to Mother Earth. You're always of her. Your body is of her. Your spirit is from the stars. And so you can also give yourself that energetic connection, that beam of light or strand of roses, whatever works for you, that goes up into the sky and connects with Father Sky, with the energetic grid around the planet, with the star beings and the universes that are here. And take a breath and feel that beautiful column of light coming down through your body that connects you to both sky and earth. Now, think of a time when you did lose something that was very precious to you. And this, like me, could be the dog, my beautiful dog, Uma. It could be a relative. It could be a loved one. It could be a job. It could be a house. And you're being able to live in a certain area, in a certain place. It could be almost anything. But think of that loss and put it into your mind, the memory, into your heart, the feelings. And connect your brain and your heart, your feelings and the memory. And remember the grief. And honor that you had that grief for that loss. That was a time of transition. And now begin to see, because you're looking back at it, see the transition that happened with that loss. What happened with you and to you and for you? What did this loss actually enable you to become? For example, a new quality within yourself, perhaps obtaining patience or understanding or kindness or compassion or determination or assertiveness to speak up for yourself. What quality might have come from this loss that is something that you have benefited from? Think about that. And then remember the habits that you had at that time that were simply around this person or this thing. Maybe it's just driving home from work to that house, or going to that job and you were in a routine, or calling that relative every week, or going out and doing something with them, or petting your dog and sleeping with it. Whatever the habits might have been, think of the habits and honor them. And now take a breath and notice the new habits that had to be birthed when that loss occurred. And notice how your life has changed. What habits have you added to your life? What time do you now have that you can spend on other things? That you do things in different ways that actually have helped your soul's growth? Ponder these habits for a moment. And notice how you've gotten into that rhythm. The old rhythm has fallen away, and the new rhythm of life has emerged and come forth. And so honor this new rhythm that you now sit in the habits of your current life. And now think of the blessings that have come from this loss. And I know this may not seem congruent, but indeed many blessings can come from losses, not just with breaking old habits or maybe distancing yourself from people that did not serve you, or being able to get that new puppy as opposed to having an old dog, not that the old dog wasn't dearly, dearly loved, but the new life coming into your being, what is it? What blessing came into your awareness, into your physical space? Maybe you actually received an inheritance from a relative that passed away. And I know that money is not a substitute for having a loved one gone, and it can be a blessing. So just notice that there are blessings. Maybe you have more time. So honor these blessings. Honor your new way of being. And honor the new you. For with every loss and every loss that we grieve, we also change. Each of us grows in our spirit and in our awareness of life, of the preciousness of life, of every moment where you can choose how you feel. You can choose how you act. So now think, what do you want to choose? How do you choose to feel about this loss? What are the blessings that you now have and that you can move forward with in your new life? I invite you to choose happiness and to choose peace. I invite you to take a breath and feel the present moment, to feel that you are whole, that you are complete, even with this loss in your life, and that you have grown significantly from it, that you actually know now how to move forward in a new way, how to find happiness within yourself, and how to go forward with your new creations, with your new qualities, with your new confidence in life. So take a breath. Thank that person or that thing that you lost for giving you new gifts and helping make you who you are today. And take a breath and bring yourself back to the chair or wherever you are. Open your eyes. See the room around you. And notice that life is precious. Every moment you have in this earth and on this earth is precious. Enjoy it. And thank you for tuning in today to the Peace Brain Show. It's been a delight to have you. And remember, if you'd like to connect with Pam Rinney, you can find out more about her at her website, Pam Rinney, PamRennie.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, Gail Lash, you can find out more about me at tourismforpeace.com or email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So now I thank you for tuning in today, and I invite you to go forth and activate your peace brain and make your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Namaste. Many blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Alchemy of Peace coaching sessions, her Peace Master plans for your business or organization, and her upcoming book, Peace Brain 101. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 2 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern for the Peace Brain Show and your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.